You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some time ago, I heard a man say, "If I were God, I would be fair with everyone. I would give every person what he wants, when he wants it." I'm glad he's not God.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Let us speak to the Lord who loves us. Our God and our Father, whose love and mercy come to us each day, and whose faithfulness is with us each night, help us by the power of your Spirit to place ourselves into your hands with all confidence and trust. Keep before us the message of power, forgiveness, and life, that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and help us to live our lives for him. Amen. It is a strange question, the one that asks, "Is God fair?" Isn't it a presumptuous question? Have we any right at all to ask that kind of a question? If we are honest with ourselves, we will say there have been times when we wondered about that, wondered whether or not God is fair in his dealings with man. We like to compare our lives with others, comparing what we have in relation to what others have. That's one of the strange games people play. Actually, much of the advertising we see and hear gears us to that kind of thinking. It's the philosophy, be the first one on your block to own one. The comparison prompts us to ask the question about the fairness of God. We see things happening in the lives of others that appear to be better than what is happening in our own circumstances. And we arrive at the idea that we who have lived a little more like God wants us to live certainly should have a better deal. We look at what happens and we wonder, is God fair? And we say, look at my family, my problems, my worries, my troubles. Aren't these enough to make me ask, is God fair? If you have that question on your heart and mind concerning the fairness of God, you are searching for an answer. To come to the answer, there are some things you must understand. First of all, you must understand who God is. And secondly, you must understand the meaning of the word fair. Then you must put the two together, your understanding of God and the word fair. In my work as a minister of the gospel, I have found people expressing many different ideas concerning God. I have often said you could find as many ideas of God as you have people in a room. These expressions of a reaching out for God and a searching for God, they are expressions of need. Getting to know God for what he is comes from a study of his word. Even with that, there is a struggle for understanding. We sometimes try to shape and mold God to fit our particular beliefs. That's a neat little trick performed by theologians. God has to come out sounding and acting and doing exactly the way some people want him to sound and act. But you can't take God and mold him. He will never change. He says, I am that I am. For some, God must be the great creator and preserver of all he has made. If God is to be anything for some people, he must be the one who constantly gives and sustains. Others who suffer from sickness or disease seek out the God who is a healer, the one who gave sight to the blind and mobility to the paralytic. Not too long ago, I was with a family at the time of death, like Mary and Martha at the time of the death of their brother. They needed God to be life. He was just that for them when Christ spoke the words, I am the resurrection and the life. Lonely and frightened people need God to be a comfort and a guide. They need a shepherd, the one who will lead them to green pastures and still waters. He will even lead them through the valley of the shadow of death, and they will fear no evil. Some people want God to be the one to cleanse the temple, to be the purifier of the church, even as Christ in his anger chased those who desecrated the house of prayer, making it a den of thieves. They desire for God to clean up everything that is wrong. Usually they will find that there is something wrong with you. You and I must have God be a redeemer and a savior. Of all the other things mentioned, this is the most important. Christ is Redeemer and Lord. I need God to be my Savior, the one on whom the Father has placed my sin and my death. In him we have forgiveness and life, eternal life. The believer knows him in the person of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, God so loved men, that he so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is strange and at times difficult to bring the truth of God to people. John Milton wrote, what is in me dark, illumine. What is low, raise and support. That to the height of the great argument I may assert eternal providence and justify the ways of God to man. It is in Jesus Christ that you begin to understand the very heart and mind of God. It is in Christ that you see God on his mission. Unless we see God in the person of Christ the Redeemer, we haven't seen him at all. Yes, he is a creator. Yes, he is a preserver. Yes, he is the Good Shepherd. But most important of all, he is our Redeemer and Savior. And it is of this God that we ask, is God fair? Fair means that all will be treated alike. There will be no partiality. Children are quick to speak of fairness. When the cake is cut, there could be 4 or 5 children, and each watches very carefully to make sure the slices are of equal proportion. If not, you will hear, how come his is bigger than mine? I can remember when my grandmother cut the cake and my cousins would cringe. My piece was just a bit bigger than theirs. I thought they were all the same, but not so. I am reminded to this day about that. They knew what she was doing, and she knew. I liked it then, and I liked the story now. In their hearts, they could have said, is that fair? Fairness is everyone receiving the same treatment. If one is to be punished, all must be punished. If one child is told you are going to be restricted and you must stay in your room, then all must be restricted if they are involved. But just try that when you discover your children have done something they shouldn't have done. You give out that word. All of you are punished. And one says, why me? I just walked in here. It's not fair. We set up all kinds of criteria for fairness. Why does one person suffer and another doesn't? For some reason or another, there are people who like to ask that kind of question. Perhaps they feel it adds something to the fortress they have built around themselves to resist every and any possibility that there is a God of love and justice and fairness. Then God comes on the scene, and at times you can't understand his fairness. Try this out. The Holy Christ of God, the sinless one who is harmless and separate from sinners, the one who never sinned, the one who fulfilled all the demands of his heavenly Father. The Bible says, on him was laid the iniquity of us all. Try that out for fairness. That doesn't seem to be fair. But because it is to our advantage, we don't cry out, it's not fair. The fairness of God cannot be understood by men. It is indeed foolishness to men. The foolishness of God brings his only Son into the world to suffer and die on the cross, to restore and redeem a fallen mankind. That is the fairness of God. That the Father takes his Son and makes him unrighteous in his sight, that we might be made righteous in God's kind of fairness. We don't understand it, but we believe it. But I suppose you don't understand the fairness of God until you cry out for him, like the writer of the psalm, who said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Have you ever been in the depths? Have you been down, feeling there is no way out? From there you cry out, Lord, Lord, hear my voice. The answer doesn't come. But you see someone else who had the same problem, and it is solved, and you begin to wonder about God and if he is really being fair with you. Think about it. Mull it over in your mind. By yourself, you will never come up with the answer. But keep on talking to him. Say, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who shall stand? If we want God to be fair, no one will be able to stand before him. But keep on talking to him. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Then God comes to you in that strange kind of fairness. He places your sins on Christ. Out of his divine grace and mercy, he offers his love to you in Christ. You are to be feared, Lord. That means not to be afraid of him, but to know him and love him and to stand before him in awe. It means to recognize and realize there are things about God we will never fully understand until we are before his throne. But this much we know. He does all things by his own will. No man has been his counselor. The strange things which God permits to happen, one family suffering more than another, little children stricken with disease, a young couple must hear their first child is mentally retarded or deaf or blind. We try to blame this on all kinds of things, but God is very clear that he does it. He is frank. He speaks clearly about affliction. He tells us in his word, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And we cry out from the depths, O God, where is your fairness? And we remember what else he has done. He spared not his only Son, but delivered him up for us all, that in all the days we have to walk, in the good days and the not so good days, in the happy days and the sad days, that underneath will be the everlasting arms. I do not speak callously or flippantly about affliction. My words aren't spoken from a life experienced untouched by God's hand. I too have wondered at times about God's dealing. But I know his ways are past finding out. What he does for man's good. Surely that is difficult for people to understand when they are the ones on the receiving end of the problems of life. It seems like pouring salt into a wound to say, "But you must trust God," or "Smile, God loves you." But, my friend, I know of nothing else to do. Oh, you can try certain things like getting angry at God, refusing to worship Him, and that will only compound the problem. I have heard people who strike up a bargain with God, like, "If my child becomes well, I'll believe in you, God. Or if my health is restored, I'll never miss church again." That's even more than a bargain. That's telling God how to run His world, and no man can do that. In my work as a minister, I have found people with many ideas concerning God. Some want Him to be one thing, others want Him to be something else. But everyone seeking Him wants God to be fair. I have learned that in God there is forgiveness and life and love and peace. There is the Christ of God and the fairness of God that takes your sin and your problem and your sorrow and places it on Jesus Christ. He gives you the promise that He will be near you. He will never put anything on you more than you are able to bear. I suppose there will be times when you ask, "Is God fair?" I have learned this. God's fairness gives me all that I need to be His forever. His promises are sure. He is Lord. All things work out for good to those who love Him. Amen.